In between the main dramas of Parshas Toldos, at the beginning of the Parsha we speak about the birth of the twins Yaakov and Esav and the selling of the Bechira, and later on the climax of the story, the giving of the Brachas, we have an extremely cryptic description of Yitzchak's business ventures, including the digging of several wells. We struggle to understand the necessity of all the details of who dug which wells and what they were called and why. Yet with a little bit of exploration, an entire philosophy of life, as well as the foreshadowing of the cycle of Jewish history, can be discovered. Here's the basic story. There is a famine in the land, and it seems like Yitzchak will do what his father Avram did and head down to Mitzrayim. Then Hashem appears to him and says, "You should not leave the land. I'm going to take care of you here, in the schus of the promise I made to your father. Because of his good deeds, I am going to protect you." And so Yitzchak stayed in Gerar, which made sense. After all, Avraham had made a peace treaty with Avimelech a few prokim back, a commitment to always protect each other and never hurt each other for generations to come. However, the Plishtim were not so good at keeping their word. At the beginning, Yitzchak had to protect Rivka in the same way that Avram protected Sarah, by pretending that she was his sister. After Avimelech discovered their true relationship, he threatens his people, "Leave them alone, and no one touches them." It was then, although it was a time of famine all over the country, that Yitzchak planted and was very successful. He managed to reap Mea Sha'arim, 100-fold of what he had planted. A small piece of historical trivia here. The first 100 families who signed a commitment to live in Mea Sha'arim, one of the first communities that was built out of the Choma, out of the Ir HaAtika, out of the old city of Yerushalayim, those 100 families signed it in the week of Parshas Toldos, and it's one of the reasons that the neighborhood, Mea Sha'arim, got its name. Back to our story. The Plishtim now get jealous. "How can you be so successful?" So they did a very irrational thing. All the wells, Asher Chafru Avde Aviv B'mei Avraham Aviv, Sitmum Plishtim Ve'imal'um Afar. During a time of famine, they took these wells that Avraham had dug in Gerar. The servants of Avraham had dug a whole series of wells, and the Plishtim went and they sealed up the wells that were servicing them. However, they were perhaps trying to send Yitzchak a subtle message. "Jew, go home. We don't want you here." When the hints didn't work, Avimelech tells him straight out, "Lech me'imanu, ki atzamta mimenu ma'id. You have become too big, too wealthy, too fast. We want you to leave." And what about the peace treaty? What about the commitment to each other? Treaties don't mean anything. Al tiftechu b'nedivim. Don't trust the noblemen who signed treaties. Trust only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak leaves, but before he does go back to redig the wells that his father dug, and he gives them the same names that his father had given them. Rav Chatzkel Abramsky spoke at the Chanukas Habayis of the Grodna Yeshiva in Ashdod, which the Ponovitcher Rav had established. And he said, "The Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichrom, tried to seal up our wells. They tried to destroy our source of water, of Torah." This Chanukah Sabbais was happening pretty soon after the Holocaust. And of course, the Ponovitcher Rav, as so many others, lost almost his entire family in the war. And Rav Chatzkel Abramsky said, "We are zeicha to redig those wells, and we will give them the same names as our father did." And if we look around society today, we see we have a Lumja and a Ponovitch and a Mir and a Brisk. There's a Ger and a Babov and a Satmar and a Skver. The Ponovitcher, who lost his well back in Ponovitch Lita, spent the rest of his life redigging the wells that the Nazis had tried to seal up. These wells were all called with the name of Hashem attached to them, and therefore they were a constant reminder of Hashem's presence. This was something that was abhorrent to the Plishtim, and that's why they had done whatever they could to close them up. But then, in an eternal message to us, Yitzchak makes a decision. "It's not enough to redig my father's wells, nor do I want to merit Hashem's bracha because I had an illustrious father. it's time for me to dig my own wells. And here we hear the dual message. Reflect on the past. Don't leave the old wells. They are important. They are crucial. Learn their names and imbibe in the wisdom of the past generations. But don't be just a copy of your parents, teachers, or leaders. There's always place to dig new wells. It didn't start off so successfully. First, his servants dig a well, which he calls Asek, after the servants of Gror began to fight with him over this well. He tries again, and again there is a conflict. This well, the second well, is called Sitna, hatred. At this point, Yitzchok decides that it's not his servants who should be digging the well. He will do it on his own, without any help, and this well is successful. He calls it Rehovos, and yes, this city in Israel is named after this well. The Ramban famously comments, and he says that the reason that the Torah talks so long about the wells, when it doesn't seem to be giving any great kavod to Yitzchak, that he and his father both dug wells, and what is this all about the wells? He says that there's a hidden hint here involved, because what the Torah wants to let us know is that in the future, we're going to have three wells, and the well of Be'er Mayim Chaim alludes to the Beis HaMikdash, which the children of Yitzchak will build. The first well is called Asek, which is an allusion to the first Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash built by Shlomo HaMelech and destroyed by the Bavlim. And the nations constantly quarreled with us and instigated wars with us until they finally destroyed it. Asek means a fight, a quarrel. The second will be called Sitna, which is enmity, which is even it's harsher than the first name, because during the second Beis HaMikdash, even right at the beginning, it says in Ezra, actually, that the Shomranim, who were left there by Sancheirev, who were left in Eretz Yisrael, wrote letters of Sitna, the same name, to the kings of Persia to tell the Jews to desist from building the Beis HaMikdash, which they did. And this sitna, this hatred, continues throughout the entire tkufa of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was ultimately destroyed by the Romans. It's only when we're going to get to the third well, and the third Beis HaMikdash, which is going to be called Rehovos, which means spacious. This is a reference to the Bayis Shlishi, which should be built, Emiratz Hashem, quickly in our days, and that will be done without quarrel and feud. Once he is successful with Rehovos, he takes this as a sign that he can go back to Be'er Sheva, where Avram had made the original peace treaty with Avimelech. He goes back to where Avram had planted his Eshel, and when he gets there, he gets his second Nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promising to stay with him. He builds a Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, and he pitches his tent there. And with these few words, we hear about Yitzchak's effort to spread the name of Hashem. The Radak says he called out B'Shem Hashem just as his father did. And because he's going to live there in Be'er Sheva, they once again needed water. And so they dig, the servants of Yitzchak, lightly to try and find the water. They just begin their digging enterprise. Coincidentally, although of course there is no such thing as coincidence, Avimelech comes back now to tell Yitzchak, I recognize, as all our enemies eventually do, that it wasn't a good idea for me to chase you out of my country. According to the Netziv, when we leave, wherever we leave, whichever country we leave, the countries ultimately begin to see that they harmed themselves more than they harmed Klal Yisrael. Harei la'atzmam yasemri ma'asherei l'Klal Yisrael. And we see this over and over and over again in history. And Avimelech, perhaps the first to notice this, comes and says, I see that you will be successful wherever you are. And Yitzchak confronts him. Why have you come? You hated me. And his answer, Ra'u ra'inu, ki aya Hashem imach, v'noymar tiyena ala b'naisenu, b'neinu uv'necha. And Avimelech answers him and he says, I realize that, perhaps too little, too late, that you're going to be successful wherever you go, and it's probably to our benefit to maintain the peace treaty. Without a hint of irony or apology for breaking his promises, he asks for a new one. Yitzchak, who has just received a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem's support, and has already built a Mizbeach, understands where the source of his water is, it's not from Avimelech, and so he has no problem signing a treaty. He knows that it's nothing he will need to ever rely on. As if to give him the further stamp of approval, his servants come and say, that well that we started to dig, well, we dug further, and behold, we have found water. Yitzchak gives the well its eternal name, Be'er Sheva, once again the same name as his father called it, for two reasons. The seven sheep that Avram had used in his original problem, and now for the seven wells, the three of Avraham that he had redug, the three of Yitzchak, the two which had quarrels over, and the third successful one, and now this is well number seven, and we now have our third city in Eretz Yisrael from this week's parsha. As the Torah says, it's called Be'er Sheva, Ad Hayom Hazeh. And here's the lesson. Water always returns to water, and water is always in a constant state of renewal. This is the lesson we learn from the wells. Always go back to your father's wells and call them by your father's names, but make sure to be constantly digging your own wells.